Simply Authentic is the podcast where realtors and referral partners get the conversations they actually want to hear. I'm Christy Norris with Great American Title, a family-owned and operated title company with over 30 years serving both Missouri and Kansas with 13 locations. We focus on providing exceptional customer service and trustworthy, reliable title insurance coverage, making dreams come true when closing at a time. That's why Great American Title is proud to sponsor the Simply Authentic podcast, bringing the most relevant, real, and sometimes challenging conversations that help us all get better. Tune in, subscribe, and let's keep this industry moving forward together.
Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast with Angie and Tanya. We are real estate pros, entrepreneurs, leadership gurus, and community enthusiasts. Our passion is sharing our experiences to enrich the lives of others. We hope to inspire you to live authentically. Welcome back to the Simply Authentic Podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And today, we're talking about, well, among other topics, 50-year mortgage.
Right.
And really, Tanya, when you and I started discussing this, the whole idea comes from this conversation we're having around affordability, right?
Correct. Yes.
Now, here in Springfield, Southwest Missouri, yes, you know, homes have appreciated greatly over the last 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. but we're not nearly as bad as, say, Oregon or California or Denver, or, you know, some of these right. places have really, it's just the idea of first time home buyers getting into a home at $500,000 mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever it is.
Well, and at the ripe age of 40.
Right.
So that is yes. the new first time home buyer age. And that's outrageous to
yeah.
me. I mean,
yeah.
You're missing a whole, almost two demographics of people mm-hmm. if you can't buy a house in your 20s anymore, right? And
right.
not everybody can afford to buy a house in their 20s. But for a long time, I feel like that number was more in the probably 24 to 28 year range. Mm-hmm. And now that has gone away
right.
with the COVID years and the appreciation that happened in those years. So affordability is hard.
Yeah. Can you imagine? I mean, I can't remember. I think I was 27 when I bought my first house. And here's the thing. Home ownership is the American dream.
Yeah.
And we want to continue the American dream. We want
yes.
that American dream to be affordable for everyone.
Yes.
But it is also a cornerstone to building wealth mm-hmm. because you are building equity in your home. That's why if you can buy, the younger you can buy, the more
yes.
equity you're building over time
yes.
and helping you to build that equity and have a solid down payment the next time you buy a house
right.
when you have to move. So all of those things have a lot of people talking. And again, one of those suggestions, the things that have been floated out there, is a mm-hmm. 50-year mortgage. We're also going to talk about portable mortgages, and we're going to talk about what all that means, because every situation is different.
Sure.
So
yeah.
there's not a standard, yes, that's a great idea, or mm-hmm. no, that's a terrible idea. That's really not the answer, mm-hmm. because it could be good or mm-hmm. okay for some. And it could be really bad for others.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of where you are, what your situation is, and what your you know, parameters are, your income, your debt, all of that. So
yeah.
anyway, let's talk about it. First of all, let's just tell them what a 50-year mortgage means when we're talking about 50-year mortgage.
So oftentimes when you buy a house and this applies to a first-time home buyer, it applies to a 10th-time home buyer. There is an amortization schedule of how long you will pay on that loan. And many times, you are getting a 30-year mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And that could even be for the person that says, I'm not going to live in this house for more than 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
The point of it being amortized, stretched over 30 years, is that it keeps your payment lower. So you can get into a house with what you can afford right now in a payment. Well, in 5 years, that could change because you maybe got a promotion and you took a different job and you're now making more money. You're still under that 30-year term in that same loan, but maybe you can make double payments at that time that you have got the promotion, you're making more money, or you actually sell, take that lump sum, and you go buy another house. Maybe you've had three kids in those 5 years and you need a larger home. You then go buy a bigger house with probably a bigger mortgage, but you still amortize it many times over 30 years because, again, it restarts your payment at a lower amount. So when we talk about changing that to a 50-year mortgage, it just stretches that payment or those payments out over a longer period of time. Now, in a 30-year and a 50-year mortgage, it is interest heavy up front. So in the first 5 to 10 years, you are paying a whole lot of interest in that monthly payment. Yes, some of it is going to go towards your principal, but and some of it's going to go towards your escrows, your insurance, and your taxes. But a lot of it goes towards your interest. So as we balloon it out to 50 years, it means you're going to pay more interest for the life of that loan. And most people, we will acknowledge, don't stay in a home for 30 years. If they don't stay in it 30 years, they're probably not going to stay in it 50 years.
Right.
But the point is here that we're making an another affordable option because affordability has become so difficult that if the, you know, the first time buyer at the ripe age of 40 has saved a down payment and on a 30-year amortization schedule, they can afford X this payment. If you balloon that to 50 years, then maybe that payment goes down by $180 a month, which means they have $180 more dollars to pay towards groceries or car payment or kids' sports or whatever that is. And so therefore, they might choose that 50-year schedule to be able to have more money in their pocket today.
Right.
What did I miss?
Well, one thing we should note is that currently you cannot get a 50-year mortgage. So I just want to say,
That's correct.
We're talking about ideas that have been floated at the federal level because the current financial laws state that you cannot have a mortgage longer than 30 years. So this would have to be something that has to be changed at the federal level, especially so that for those government-backed type of loans like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Correct.
So, you know, we're talking about something that you can't get today, but again, has been a suggested option to attack that affordability. So let's talk about what you said, Tanya, was basically, you know, I'm going to pay more interest over the life of the loan, obviously, which so there are some that would argue with that this is not a great option because we're going to be in debt longer. I mean, we are a society that has apparently become okay with debt, considering our government is trillions of dollars in debt.
Yes.
And the average American citizen has carries quite a bit of debt. But we had a lender go and do an amortization chart for us to kind of talk about really in solid numbers what that looks like.
Yes.
So on a $400,000 house, the after 5 years, so you've made your payments regular time on a $400,000 house, your payoff on a 30 year note would be $290,500.
And this is financing $300. So
this
your
is financing
sales price is $400.
Right.
You're financing $300.
You put $100,000 down. So your payoff at the end of that 5 years is $290,500, roughly.
Okay.
So, but on a 50-year note, your payoff at the end of 5 years is $295,100. So difference of about $5,000 roughly is what you will have paid down on a 30 versus a 50. So there's that. And that's assuming today's rate of 6 3/4 or something, right. Something yes. like that.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about appreciation just a bit, because we all know that homes in the past have appreciated. None of us have a crystal ball, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. No.
Think how much money we would make if we had a crystal ball.
Yeah.
Let's think about a lot. That for just a second. Okay. Yep. Yeah, a lot. But we don't. So we have to assume that on average, we will have an appreciation. Our average rate in Southwest Missouri is around 4 to 6%. Mm-hmm. So 5%
annually.
Yeah. Annually. Over the last few years, it has been significantly higher than that, just because of the COVID years and the lack of inventory and mm-hmm. the demand being high. So it's been outrageously high the last few years. But on an average year, 5% mm-hmm. is what we're going to say. Mm-hmm. So you buy the house $400,000. So your value in 5 years will be 486, roughly, if we figure at 5% mm-hmm. Appreciation.
Okay.
Okay. And at the end of the fifth year, it could be as much as 510. So somewhere in that 486 to 510 at the end of 5 years.
Okay.
Okay. So basically, what we're seeing is that on the 30-year note, with your payoff and appreciation, the difference would be 115.5. Does that okay. make sense? So what you've paid down plus what appreciation is gained mm-hmm. is about 115,000.
And that's on the 30-year or the 50-year?
That's on the 50-year. Okay. On the 30-year, it's 130. So a difference okay. of about 15,000.
Okay.
And I hope that makes sense. I know it's a little hard without graphics to kind of show you, but basically what we're saying is when you figure in the amount of interest you've paid and the appreciation that you've gained at 5% on a 30-year note, you've got 130. On a 50-year note, you've got 115.
Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, it is serving its purpose, or it would serve its purpose. Again, this is not something that is actively available. It is just being discussed. You pay off more and gain more equity in a shorter term loan than you do a longer term loan. Mm-hmm. But again, everybody's situation is different. Everybody's mm-hmm. income, everybody's job, everybody's debt. All of that is different for every single buyer that walks in the door, right? Mm-hmm. And the two lenders that we relied on for this information, Jack Langley with Gershman and Jamie Dressler with Arvest, we trust their opinions, and they both come from a long line of being in this business for many years. So they have, I think it would be safe to say they both have mixed feelings about it, because they want to see you succeed in paying your loan off as quick as possible, right? Because the more you can pay down in the shortest amount of time, the more equity that number you just spoke about, that goes up, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So I think that this will continue to be weighed out and discussed and looked at, and the realization of it will be probably at the end of the day, if the banks and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are willing to take on a loan of that length, because right. it also opens them up for more years of risk.
Sure. Sure.
Right?
And that's something that'll have to be weighed. You know, I think when we think in terms of who this could be good for, it's still better than renting, mm-hmm. right? Let's say
for sure.
that you're sitting in a rental situation right now, and you would love to have that American dream of home ownership, and you're thinking, I still can't afford to get into a home because rent is still, and it's in most cases not much cheaper than any mortgage that you would get. But still, there you might be yeah. in a situation where your rental is less money than what your payments would be on a 30-year note. Mm-hmm. This just opens another door for those people who might feel like they don't have the opportunity. So it really is, it would still get you in a home and get you building equity, mm-hmm. albeit slower, it would still get you building equity in your home, and which is still better than paying someone else's mortgage.
Absolutely. And with on that note, keep in mind, as you continue to rent, you build zero equity,
right.
but you're paying for the future equity of your landlord, the owner of your unit, whatever, wherever you're renting. So if you ever need any help with that, Angie and I are your go-to girls. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'd love to sit down with you and talk about home ownership and not being a renter forever. And there is a time and place for renting, right? Mm-hmm. Because sure. the average home buyer now, first-time home buyer is 40, that is many years of renting mm-hmm. that people are paying someone else's mortgage for them
right.
and gaining someone else's equity for them. So we want to talk to you about those things. But I think that because of the affordability issue, then that 40-year-old mark has gotten to be, you know, instead of 25, it's 40.
Right.
And that's many years to be either trying to save money to buy that home. I mean, mm-hmm. that's potentially 15 years. I mean, it really is profound when you think about
right,
that.
Right. And some people get 15-year mortgages. So in 15 years, you could have yes. paid off that house.
Yes.
And be debt-free
yes.
In a home that you actually own and is an asset for you.
Yeah.
You know, Tanya, you say, you know, if you have questions, certainly reach out to us. And I would also encourage our listeners to really, when you sit down with a lender, and by the way, you know, if you're thinking about buying a home, obviously you can reach out to a realtor, but the first thing we're going to say is, have you spoken to a lender?
Yes.
Because it's really your first step. And here's the thing about choosing a lender. You need that lender, just like your realtor, is a partner in what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And you have to have someone who is willing to take the time and sit down with you and explain all these things. So by early 2026, we might have the option for a 50-year mortgage.
Yes.
And you have to be able to ask the right questions and have them weigh that out with you based on your situation. Because again, there's no hard and fast, this is a great thing, this is a bad thing,
right.
because every situation is individual.
Right.
So you really have to have someone that will sit down with you, talk you through the options of not just what type of loan, because there's all kinds of types of loans too, right? FHA, VA, USDA, all kinds of options on the type of loan you could get. Now we're adding potentially another conversation point into that mix, and that is how long your mortgage should be. And I would encourage you that if you have the means, that not just to take a 30-year note either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there you could get a
Absolutely.
20, you could get a 15. If you can afford the payment and it can get you to the end result, which is flat home ownership, you don't owe anybody anything.
Right.
If the goal is to get there quicker, why not ask about a 15 or a 20? You know, our first-time home buyers are probably going to have to be a 30 or a 50 if that mm-hmm. becomes available. But if you are a homeowner that has the means to reduce that debt load quicker, then why not do it?
Mm-hmm.
I think we just get so used to, I'm going to do a 30-year mortgage.
I agree. Well,
why not look at a 20 or a 15?
Yeah. And I think a good loan advisor, and this was one of the things that our friend Jamie pointed out, was she thinks that all loan officers need to be better financial advisors.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that meaning that they need to be able to sit down with that person and look at all of their bills and all of, you know, they're doing that anyway, right? Because they have to know what all your debt is.
Mm-hmm.
And for that loan officer to be able to advise in some way of, you know, if you did this product, it mm-hmm. could get you here faster. And also keeping in mind that making an additional payment or two payments a year cuts your mortgage in half by 7 to 10 years,
right?
Depending on how much you're paying down, if you're
right.
paying an extra mortgage or two a year. Mm-hmm. So I think also being aware of having those conversations. You tell me if you were the same, but on my first mortgage, I was 22 when I bought my first house. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about anything.
No.
And I certainly probably wasn't listening to any financial advice they gave me,
yeah,
right?
Not at 22. Probably not.
So if that person said, Tanya, let's look at, you know, your credit card debt and your car loan, and let's get those paid off so then you could start making a payment and a half every month and, mm-hmm. you know, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I don't remember that happening, so I'd say it didn't.
Yeah.
But I probably also wasn't listening.
Yeah.
But I think that in general, we need to be teaching young people and first-time buyers how to be better homeowners and how to get to being debt-free on that house sooner than 30 years, much sooner than 50 years.
Absolutely. You know, when you were saying, you know, in the course of that 30-year mortgage that you've got, you get pay raises and better jobs and that kind of thing. And those are the times that if you're not moving, that you should be looking at making an additional payment or putting, you know, more money towards the principal every month or whatever.
Yes.
Whatever you can do, because that'll put you in a better situation. And again, just is building equity. Think of it like a savings account. It's just going in there and you don't have access to that money, which in most cases is a really good thing, you know, especially if you're a shopaholic like myself.
Definitely.
It's better for me to put my money towards my principal and have that money somewhere where it's doing me some good, but I don't have access to it.
Yes. And if you are paying your principal down earlier than whatever your 20-year, 30-year, 50-year mortgage would say, then you are paying less interest over the life of the loan.
Right.
So that 30 years of interest is a huge, big number that they actually do you a favor and print all that out when you sign for that loan, right?
Yes.
So you know at the end of it how much you paid for that $200,000 loan, you've probably paid $400,000 for it, right?
Yeah.
So keep in mind, folks, that the best way to get out of that paying all that interest that your mortgage holder gets to keep for servicing the life of your loan, they get less of that if you pay more principal every month. So make that a goal. That'd be a great goal for everybody to set, to pay a little extra principal so you pay a lot less interest in the end.
Yeah.
Angie, yes?
Do you think it's a good time for a break?
I do. I think it's a great time for a break from a word from our sponsors.
Real Talk, Real Industry Insights. Simply Authentic is the podcast where realtors and referral partners get the conversations they actually want to hear. I'm Jack Langley at Gershman Mortgage. We've been helping home buyers and real estate professionals for over 70 years, and we know that success just isn't about transactions. It's about knowledge, relationships, and having the right tools to grow. That's why we're proud to host Simply Authentic in our studio, bringing you the most relevant, real, and sometimes challenging conversations that help us all get better. Tune in, subscribe, and let's keep this industry moving forward together. Simply Authentic, recorded at the Gershman Mortgage Studios, available wherever you get your podcast.
And we're back. And we've been talking about the 50-year mortgage. Is there anything else we need to say about that before we move on? Do you think we've covered the 50-year mortgage?
I think we have. I think we've covered it, and we will stay tuned, right?
Yeah.
We will update you guys on what happens in 26, if the government continues to consider this, and it'll be a big topic of conversation if so.
Yeah.
So we'll continue to cover it if it develops into anything else. Angie, a couple of things that I just thought I would point out, just being, you know, we're getting towards the end of the year and our statistics from the Greater Springfield Board of Realtors are always like a month behind because obviously you can't just, you know, spit out that month's information statistics immediately. But in our conversations of a 4 to 5% appreciation, we have a median sales price from October of 2024 of 279 to October of 2025. That has went up to 285. So that's a small example of kind of what we've been talking about in the appreciation of your home every year being maybe 4 to 6%, generally. And we'll have those numbers as we get to the beginning of the year for our area, what it was, what we actually appreciated. But that's went up, you know, $6,000 from 12 months ago.
Yeah. And so we're starting, that just leans to what we talked about earlier. We're starting to see that flatten out just a bit because it was going up by $15,000-$20,000 a year for those immediate years following COVID. And then this year is kind of leveled out a little bit. That's going to put us closer, I think, to that 4-6%.
Yeah, agree. So we'll be paying attention to that as
and
well.
And just FYI, if you haven't listened to us before and you don't know, our statistical area is Greene, Christian, and Webster counties. So that's an average of those three counties. When you see it broken down by county, Christian County is higher. So each, you know, Christian County, Greene County, then Webster County, in order of the difference is what we've seen trending over this last year.
Very true. Another stat I thought was interesting, Angie, that I pulled from NAR is 53% of sellers and 42% of buyers in 2025 were baby boomers. So as we talked about the first time buyer age rounding up to 40, you take kind of that demographic, and then that's a lot of buyers and sellers. I mean, it's half and then nearly half of the other one, you know, of seller and buyer.
Right.
That is in that baby boomers are probably what, 60?
Yeah, over 60.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely over 60, maybe 65 now.
Yeah.
To 75 to 80. So that is a large number of that demographic buying and selling homes.
Yes. And like we said, unfortunately, we haven't seen as many home buyers in that in their 20s. So in that demographic, it has really suffered. And, you know, some of that is just their attitude towards home buying. Again, a lot of them, we read a lot of things about different demographics. And some of that in that particular demographic is they're just moving. They're moving around. They're a little more adventurous, if you will. They want to get out and see the world and that kind of thing. So that lends towards, and as we've already said, there's a place and time for renting, you know, and if you're doing that in your 20s because you want to go out and experience the world and you want to take the best job offers and try to work to attain a particular goal and you've got to move to do that, then that's the time to do it in your 20s. So,
for sure.
But still, 40 is a little alarming because it is 15 years removed from what our average was just a few years ago. Yeah. So, you know, Tanya, should we talk just again, we're talking different strategies for affordability. So let's talk just a little bit about some other things that are being floated out there and maybe some suggestions we would have for our federal government if they were to listen to us. But another one is the portable mortgage. And basically, you know, we've got a bunch of people out there sitting on their homes that they bought when the interest rates were in their 3% range. And we get it. They don't want to sell unless they have to because they don't want to lose the 3%.
Right.
So there is this other conversation around portable mortgage, meaning that I have a 3% mortgage right now and I want to move up. I need a bigger home. And this would allow me to take my interest rate with me, essentially.
Yes.
And it would make that mortgage portable to the next home.
So this is a great theory, right? In theory, it is not, in my opinion, this is only my opinion, it is not very likely to be able to happen because whoever holds your mortgage, so let's say you got it through Gershman and let's say they sold it off to the secondary market. So now Bank of America holds it. Okay, well, you're going to have to go through Bank of America to get your next loan. And if Bank of America is involved in you buying another house, aren't they going to want to be involved in the selling of your house? Because that's the loan that they own.
Right.
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 So, So wouldn't it make sense that now Bank of America is going to say, oh, Angie, if we allow you to take this 3% mortgage to buy your new house over in Brentwood, then you have to guarantee that we get the new mortgage on your house as well. Because otherwise, we don't make any money.
Right.
Because to borrow money right now, it's more expensive for a bank, right, than it is for you at your 3% mortgage.
Right.
So a bank can't give you they can't just la-di-daw say, oh, Angie, we're going to match that 3% mortgage you got back in 2020, and we're going to give it to you in 2026 on this house in Brentwood,
right,
even though the prime rate and the average interest rate right this second is 6.3. They're in the hole. They can't do that. Mm-hmm. They can't. Otherwise, you could willy-nilly walk into any bank right this second and say, I'd like a 3% mortgage. And they'd say, okay, if your credit's great and you have no debt and, you know, you pass these tests of checking off these boxes, sure, we'll give you a 3% mortgage. They can't do that.
Right.
You can't do that.
Right.
So I don't feasibly see how that would work.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's another one of those ideas that I just feel like probably the pros and cons have not been weighed. And of course, I'm sure the banking lobbyists are going to be heavily involved in this discussion.
Yeah.
Because you're right. You're going to have to go back to the same institution that holds that loan. And banks have to make money somehow, right?
Of course. Yeah.
So there's a lot of hoops with this one. And so unlike you, I don't know that one's going to come to fruition. Mm-mm. What I do love, Tanya, is that there is discussion. You know, no idea is a bad idea until it's being vetted out and all the pros and cons are looked at. I think it's a great testament that we're having such discussions because the problem has been identified. There is an issue. We have an affordability issue in this country. Mm-hmm. And I feel like any discussion around that is a good discussion because you don't know what idea is going to come from that.
Right.
You know, maybe the 50-year mortgage or the portable mortgage won't come to fruition at all. Mm-hmm. Maybe there'll be a new idea spurred out of that discussion that would make more sense.
Agree.
And so I love the idea that we are talking about that it's a topic, that it's being discussed and it is recognized as a problem nationwide.
Yeah.
You know, Tanya, I think one of the things that really needs to be looked at, and we've had an issue here in Greene County and Springfield and some surrounding areas, but I believe it's getting better. But let's make it easier to build. Let's make it easier for the builders. Let's have less red tape so that builders can build on the properties they own and it not be such a, we have a lot of builders get out of the business, because we went through a recession and it was really hard for a lot of builders. Mm-hmm. But also in addition to that, B, is that it's just too difficult. We make it too difficult for builders to do what they do and make money.
Mm-hmm. Well, and some of the bigger reasons for that is development costs have went up so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything's expensive, right? There's nothing that we say, oh, that's still cheap. You don't hear that anymore.
No.
So it's expensive to put in utilities, sewer and water and gas lines. Mm-hmm. And so the affordability for that has gone completely out the window. And then land prices have went up so high.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know that those things can be corrected.
No. So therefore, if we could make it easier and less expensive for them to get permits and again, allow certain things,
right?
And look at each situation as a different situation. I mean, every situation again is different, right? If I want to go out and build on 50 acres, I may have a great plan, and just because it doesn't fit into this box, I'm not going to be allowed to do it. Maybe we need to think outside the box to use something very cliche, but maybe we do. Maybe we need to consider these things and consider each individual situation a little differently and say, what if we could make this happen for this particular builder, this developer, whatever the case may be, because it's a great idea. It just doesn't fit into our neat little box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, TBD on that.
TBD.
Because I'm not sure there's many changes coming.
Yeah. Well, I think there's some things that have been areas that are working, that are being looked at, and I hope
hopefully.
So. But if we can adjust that at the federal level, then that kind of trickles down, right?
Yes.
And since you mentioned that there's not everything cost-wise is going up, I just want to mention that this podcast is free.
It is.
Yes, you can listen for free.
It is free for you to tune in anywhere on any podcast app that you want to listen on. Yeah. So please do so. We also want to always mention and thank our sponsor, Great American Title and Gershman Mortgage. And please share this episode if you liked it. If this is a topic of discussion at your workplace or around your table in the evenings, please share it with a friend.
We appreciate you listening. See you next week.
Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Simply Authentic podcast. Be sure to hit follow so that you can see each episode as it pops up weekly.